By JJ Shaq the Thank you all for joining us this Hashanah Rabbah, this Tikkun Leil Hashanah Rabbah. I thank Laurie and Mary Frank and Terry and Yitzi Karasik, Leah and Sam Levy, and David and Margie Sachs for sponsoring this evening. It's become one of the events on our calendar, Baruch Hashem. We're able to welcome Rabbi J.J. Shachter to give us the Tikkun Leil Hashanah Rabbah. Topic this evening, Simchas Torah and the joy of transmitting Torah, the role of grandparents. Dr. J.J. Shaq is eminently qualified to teach us and to teach B'chol Machmanei Torah. But the role of grandparenting, the teaching of Torah, I can share with you three vignettes, introduction to our wonderful guest, and that is that he and Dr. Shachter, Rabbi Shachter's wife, and preeminent psychologist, very important to the Jewish community, and to us, that they are loving and beloved grandparents. And I know this from my connection with their children, and my wife knows this from her teaching of the granddaughters and interacting and seeing how connected, unusually connected, the grandchildren are with their grandparents, seeking their advice and they're reveling in their love. I saw this firsthand several years ago, maybe it goes back maybe 3 years ago, when I was in learning in the Beis Medrash at Yeshiva on a Sunday morning. And there were two tables from where I was learning. There was an excited chabura going on. And when I looked up, I saw that it was Rabbi Shachter learning together with Ellie and Ellie's cousin, and his first name was Tarzak. And it was such a passionate chabura. And I would say it's the envy of every parent and grandparent to be able to have such an energized learning and Seder with one's grandchildren. It was something that was, for me, very, very exciting to behold. And in the broader sense, when I think about our Rabbanim at Yeshiva, I don't know if there's any other Rav who is more invested in training and training our musmachim and then helping the musmachim in their service in the field, whether it's through Yarchit, which Rabbi Shachter invests a tremendous amount of energy, and whether it's the ongoing conversations and the counseling and provision of information and of chomer and of insight, the resource that Rabbi Shachter is to so many Rabbanim in America makes him a grandfather to so many Balabatim in America. And therefore it's a great kovod that we present and look forward to learning this evening from a J.J. Shack.
Bershus, ubechvod Morada Asra, Rabbi Neuberger, I want to thank you very much for the extremely gracious introduction. I think the Zaydis and the Bubbies among us fully understand that there's nothing more significant and important than to be introduced as a Bubby and a Zaidi and as someone who has a connection with grandchildren. So thank you very much. And I want to, in addition, begin by my annual thank you to you for what you mean to our family, to our children and to our grandchildren, and to our family, and to express our personal hakaras hatov to you, and also on behalf of so many other countless families who look up to you and learn from you and for whom you and your wife are extraordinary role models. And we are all in your debt, and we are extremely grateful. I think one of the main reasons I come every year is to be able to have an opportunity to express our personal and collective hakaras hatov. So this year, the subject is grandparents. I want to thank Rabbi Ross, who is here somewhere. Thank you very much, Aaron, for inviting me back again. I've been here many times, and I look forward to it, and I'm very grateful to you and to all of the sponsors. The subject is grandparents. I've been holding in the Parsha, together with my wife, in the Parsha of grandparenting for about 21 years. And it's a very important parsha for us, and any one of you who are already grandparents, and Mirtz Hashem, those who aren't yet, the Mirtz Hashem will be, understand how special it is. And I was realizing how special it is because I was reflecting on my own personal experience. And when I was growing up, there really wasn't such a thing as active, engaged grandparents. I see some people nodding. If we went through the shul, we could take a poll. And I think we would come to a consensus that those of us who are grandparents play much more of an active role in our grandchildren's lives than our Bubbies and Zaidis played in ours. To some extent, it was due to the Shoah. There are many, many of us who are children, grandchildren of Holocaust, either Rachmana Litzlan victims or survivors, and they just weren't around. There's a whole door that was missing. There were reams of seats and shul that were empty. There was a door yasom. It was a door yasom. And the grandchildren grew up with stories, but not with visible images of what the Mesorah meant. In the case of my own personal family, we were not a Shoah-affected directly family. Both my grandparents came to the United States before the war. One grandmother died before my parents were married. The other grandfather, her husband, died when I was 1.5. I have no memory of him. A grandfather died on the other side when I was 7, and a grandmother died when I was about 17. So the last grandparent I had passed away when I was 17 years old. I remember her very vividly. She played a very important role in my life, and I want to talk about Bubbies tonight, not just about Zaidis. And I remember my grandfather. I remember three things. He passed away when I was 7, I think. I remember three things. I remember that he taught me that after you make Havdalah, and you have the kos of the wine, and then you have the bottle that you pour the wine into, you can't just pour from the kos back in, but you have to take the bottle and pour from the bottle a little bit into the kos, because that wine had already a bracha on it, and you can't just put it right back in, so you have to mix it with wine that had not yet a bracha on it, and then put it back in. I remember during Sfiras HaOmer, he would call me every night and ask me what was the night of Sfiras HaOmer, and what was the sfira for the night of Sfiras HaOmer. My Bubis and Zaidis from Beide Zaten, Zen and Geven, Galatianach Sidim. And they said that whole chapter, the whole paragraph, with the Netzach Shebehoi, Teferi Shebemalchus, and he needed to know from me at the age of 6, not just what night was it, but what was the sphera for that. And the third thing I remember, and I think the most transformative, was we lived in the Bronx. And my father was a rabbi in a fancy shul, but my Zayda went to a Chassidish Rebbe, the Rav Chodorov, who had a shtibel in the Bronx, not far from where we lived, about a half-hour walk. and he would on occasion go there, especially on Yom Tov. And I remember accompanying him, and I remember during Birchas Kohen and being under his talis, and I remember him bawling, profoundly crying. And I think he was crying, what do I know, I was a kid, I was nothing. I think he was crying because he's worried about, here's a little pitzel growing up in America. My Zayde came from Europe, he saw the Alta Hain, and here I am growing up in the Fremde Medina, and what's going to be with the next Doiris? And I think he poured in his hopes into me and to my sister and to my cousins. And Baruch Hashem, we have Baruch Hashem, he would be happy with, I hope, what he saw. And this is only till the age of 6 or 7. We're now in a different place. Now we're not only holding Baruch Hashem in the parsha of grandparents, but we're holding the parsha of great-grandparents. There are a number of you tonight, the Levies, just tonight. Sam, where's Sam? Mamish tonight, Mamish Mazel Tov to the Wieners and to the Levies. They became great-grandparents tonight. Mazel Tov. So it's huge. Man de Charshme, great-grandparents? When I was growing up, it was like on the moon. It was like mamish, not even shayach. And today, Baruch Hashem, it's kima'at maisim b'chol yoyim. There must be a number of people who are here this evening who are, Baruch Hashem, great-grandparents. So this is a parsha that's extremely important, and I'd like to focus on it, especially the context of Simchas Torah, what Simchas Torah means, what is misameach us about the Torah, and what can we do to ensure the transmission of what it is that's so important to us, not only to children, but also to grandchildren and beyond. The question that I've been wondering about for a number of years is, why is Simchas Torah on Simchas Torah? Why isn't Simchas Torah on Shavuos? If the whole point of Simchas Torah is to celebrate the giving of the Torah and the getting of the Torah and the living of the Torah, so why don't we bring together these two Yamim Tovim? We should have Simchas Torah and Shavuos. Epis eingefallen that we should have Simchas Torah so far after the anniversary giving of the Torah. And it turns out that it's not really a popular question, which was very surprising to me. I went looking in this sefer. This is a sefer by Avram Yari. It's the first source on page 1. It's called Toldot Chag Simchat Torah. And it's 400 pages, 525 pages. And there's a page and a half that's devoted to this. And I give you the answer that he quotes. It's an answer from a rabbi who lived in Rhodes in the middle of the 18th century. So what they did before they got to the middle of the 18th century, I don't know. I looked around. I couldn't find an answer. I couldn't find even people who really grappled with this question. And he quotes here, I'm going to review with you the answer. And then he says there's also a shtikala related Dubna Magid that has a similar explanation. So here's the question. Yesh lachkor. Lama anachnu osim simchas hator b'shmini atzeres. Second paragraph, page 1. Min haroi hoya la'asosa ba'atzeres. Shehu yom matan Torah. Ubo bayom hayinu Yisrael kechosin hayotze likras kala. Ubo dafka hayashayach la'asos hilula v'lesmoach b'simchas hatorah. Where the chosin and the kala and the Torah and the ksuba and the chuppah and the mountain, that's the celebration. So then we should have celebrated Simchas Torah. V'shamati mishem Rav Ashkenazi Echad, he's living in Rhodes, he's a Sephardi, Chaim Yehuda Yisrael, Ben Rav Moshe Yisrael, so the son is Yisrael, the father is Yisrael. He quotes from Ashkenazi Rav, Liyashev HaChakir HaNiskeres, and he gives a mashal. So the mashal is about somebody who's in jail, and Nebuch Zegeferlich, he's having a very difficult time in jail, and it's Memichit and Memichit, it's very difficult for him. And one day the king shows up and says, I want you to leave the jail, and I want you to marry my daughter. So the guy says, Vosep is eingefallen, must be there's some catch here. But I'm the guy who he wants that I should marry his daughter, and maybe there are issues that she has, there are challenges that she has, their complications. He figures only a layitzlach like me is going to marry the daughter, but On the other hand, this is my ticket. So what do I know? I'd rather whatever it's going to be, it's got to be better than what it is that I'm experiencing now. So with a heavy heart, he's maskim, and he gets out of jail, and there's a chasana, and he's unhappy because he doesn't know. After a whole year, a year goes by, and he realizes, Mama, she's gewaldig, she's meyerdig, she's incredible, wonderful, special. Then he first feels an incredible sin, because he knows there is no catch. He still can't figure out why it was him. But meanwhile, he's into something wonderful. And now he could celebrate with a full heart after having gone through a whole cycle of experiences and seen her in so many different contexts and see what kind of a precious and special person she is. Now with a full heart, he's ready to enter into this relationship. And so, when Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, when you're going to leave Mitzrayim, you're going to get the Torah. So they don't know what the Torah is. They don't know, but they figure if that's the ticket to get out of Mitzrayim, so I'm going to get out of Mitzrayim. It beats the alternative. So they get the Torah, but they don't know. They don't know what's in there. It's just blank. After a whole Torah reading cycle, and you realize we're holding already by the end of Zeis HaBrach, and you see, mamish, how gewaldig the Torah is, that there's nothing to be concerned about. On the contrary, what a profound gift this is. Now we first can fully be misameach with the Torah. This is his explanation. So therefore what we do, coming up Mirtz Hashem in a few days, is to be joyful and to feel a sense of simcha because of Kabbalah Sator. We're celebrating Kabbalah Satorah at a time when we have had the opportunity to examine it and realize how wonderful it is. And so there is this nexus, this clear connection between Simchas Torah and the Yom Tov of Shavuos and the event of Revelation and Kabbalah Sator. Which brings us to an interesting discussion in a Ramban. Pasuk says, page 2, in Parshas Vo'eschara. The Torah here is describing the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu to Bnei Yisrael. And in the middle of his long discussion, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes, Raki Shamar Lecha, it's 5 lines from the bottom of the top part of page 2. Yishamar Lecha Shmar Nafshecha Ma'od Pen Tishkach Es Advar Masharo Einecha. You should really be careful, make sure you don't forget what you saw. Upen Yosuru Milvavcha Kol Yemei Chayecha. And you shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, remove it from your heart your entire life. V'Hodatam Livanecha V'Livnei Vanecha. And you should inform your children and your grandchildren. What should I inform them? What should I not forget? Next pasuk, Yom Asher Amadeta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. You shouldn't forget the event of Matan Torah, Mar Sinai. Yom Asher Amadeta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev Ve'emor Hashem Elai. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking when Hashem told me to gather all the Jews and to listen what he has to say. You shouldn't forget it, and you should inform not just Levonecha, but V'Hidatam Levonecha V'Livnei Vanecha. The Rambam wrote a book called the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam identifies what are the Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah. A Mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Lo Saseh, he divides it in different categories. And based on a sort of a throwaway line, it would appear at the end of Masachas Makis that we have Taryag Mitzvahs in the Torah. We have 248 Mitzvah Saseh, and we have 365 Mitzvahs Lo Saseh. And that, for some reason, was taken extremely seriously. The Rambam is not the first, but like with so many other things, the Rambam was the most influential in trying to identify, so taka, what are they? If you open up a Sefer Torah, there's no like arrow that with an asterisk and says, this is number 192 right here, we don't know. So the Rambam has a whole cheshbon. The Ramban disagrees on and off with the Rambam, and you understand that if the Ramban disagrees and says, well, that's not a mitzvah, then the Ramban has to come up with an alternative to fill in to make sure he gets 248 and 365. The mitzvah slosa say that the Ramban adds, that the Rambam does not include in his minyan ha-mitzvos, is this mitzvah never to forget Maimed Har Sinai. Bottom half of page 2, mitzvah beis. These are the hasagis of the Ramban on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. Shenimnanu shelo nishkach Maimed Har Sinai velo nosir oso midaatenu. We are enjoined never to forget, never to remove it from our minds. Aval yihye einenu vilibenu sham kol hayamim. We're there. We're in the moment. We're there all the time. And then he quotes the pasuk, "Vu amro yisalei shomer lachoshmar nafshecha meod pen tishkach hasadvar mesharo einecha pen yasir milvavcha kol yemechayecha vaodatam levanecha velevnei vanecha etc." Vakavana bezos gedolam meod. The mitzvah not to forget Maimed Har Sinai. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs according to the Ramban. Is extremely important. If it was only Moshe Rabbeinu, if he was the sole source of the transmission of the Torah to us, even though we're 100% absolutely convinced it is true to us that his is correct, and it's proven through ososomosim, through all kinds of signs, but we're worried, im yokum bikurbenu navi o chalom, chalom, bizman min azmana, but maybe at some point down the road, somebody else is going to wake up, and that person is going to say, well, no, it's a different Torah, and that person is also going to do ososomosim, also going to apparently prove that what they're saying is correct, then we're worried about maybe the second person is right, or, at the very least, we will engender some kind of a suffolk about the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, maybe we're not really no longer 100% sure about Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval kishehigiyanu biur haTorah mipi agavura la'azneinu, when we heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shel Olam Anochi Hashem Elokeinu, by Maimed Har Sinai, there was no intermediary. It was directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'einenu ro'os, and we saw it, we experienced it. Ein sham emtza'i, there's nothing in between. Then nakhish kol cholek, v'chol misafek lo yo'iluhu os. Anybody who's going to engender a doubt will not get anywhere. Nothing is going to help him. No osos are going to help him. He could do Isis van Hein bis Morgen, but we know, we heard it from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, and that's why it's so important. Three lines down, v'hiz here pen yosuru min halev, mehodiyam libanim, ulibnei banim, lidoros olam. This needs to be transmitted, or it's usher to forget it, both ourselves and our children, generation number 2, and bnei banim, generation number 3. On the right side of page 3, I bring you the Ramban in his Perush Shel HaTorah. There is a remarkable consistency, almost a word for word, in certain phrases between the Ramban's Hasagis in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he underscores the centrality of this mitzvah, not to forget, Maimed Har Sinai, Mamisha Mitzvah of Taryag, and the Ramban in his commentary on this Pasuk, on the Pasuk of Pen Yishkach Ve'odatam Levanecha Levnei Vanecha. The only thing that's striking here is that in his Perush Shel HaTorah, he refers to this not only as a mitzvah lo saseh, he shomer lecha pen, but he refers to it also as a mitzvah saseh. In the Sefer HaMitzvah Sasagas, it's only a lo saseh. But here, I'll just show you, the rest is pretty much similar, but it's about halfway down in the line beginning Hamamad Hahu. He's here be mitzvah lo saseh. Shelo nishkach dovar min, beginning the line hamaymid hahu velo nasireu milibenu laolam loisasei, and then v'tziva b'mitzvas asei dia bo lechol zareinu, because the pasuk says v'hodatam. So there are tzvei mitzvahs here, according to the Ramban in his Perush Shel HaTorah. In his hasagas on the Perush on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, he only talks about a losasei. But the point being, this is really crucially central for our being convinced of the legitimacy, the veracity, the absolute truth of Torah can never be changed, never be budged. After all, we heard it from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and after all, we heard from our parents, and we heard from our bubbies and zadies, who heard from their parents and their bubbies and zadies all the way back, that this is what happened at Maimed Har Sinai. So grandparents, v'odatam levonecha v'levnei vonecha, play a central role in this extraordinary obligation to ensure the perpetuation of the absolute emuna b'li shum pikpuk v'safek ba'olam of what Torah is and what Torah means to be. Let's take a look. Let's learn a shtick of l'sugya in the Gemara Maseches Kedushin Daf Lamed Amed Aleph. I want to start in the second part of the Gemara, and then I want to go back to the first part of the Gemara. So the it's about halfway down, the line beginning, B'nechem, B'nechem, V'lo, B'noseichem. Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there's an asterisk. It's about halfway down, a little more than halfway down where the lines are still thin. Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kolam Elamed es ben B'no Torah, whoever teaches the son of his son Torah, Ma'ala Olav HaKosov Ki'ilu Kibla Mehar Sinai. So anybody who teaches an Einikol Torah, and I'm going to be switching back and forth between the son of a son and Einikol. I want to talk about the son of a daughter. I want to talk about a daughter. I want to talk about a granddaughter. I want to talk about a grandmother. Obviously, that's extremely central. I'm holding in the parsha of daughters, Baruch Hashem. So all my grandchildren are children of daughters. And that's obviously extremely important. But the nusach, and we have to be precise, the nusach and the gemara, we don't get to daughters and granddaughters until much, much, much later on. The language in the totality of halachic literature is about sons and grandfathers and fathers. Kol ha-melamed es ben beno Torah, ma'ala olav ha-kosov. If you teach your grandson Torah, if a grandfather teaches ben beno Torah, ma'ala olav ha-kosov, ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. It's as if he received the Torah from Har Sinai, Shenemer v'odatam levanecha levnei vanecha, and the next pasuk is Yom Asher amadto levnei Hashem Elokecha. So Mefarshim try to understand what's the significance. If I teach my grandson, then it's as if I received the Torah at Har Sinai. So the sort of generally accepted opinion is that if I'm in a position to do this, not just one generation but two generations, then it's strong, it's powerful, it's lasting, as if mamish I was standing at Har Sinai. So it's going to stay with me, and it's going to be entrenched in my family for generations. If you look at the Marsha, just take a moment on the next page. The Marsha says that the Gemara is not referring to the grandfather, but the Marsha says the Gemara is referring to the grandchild. Oh yeah, Shlomo, at the end of this Marsha, it's the last line and a half. The lo koi kilu kibla mehar Sinai al ha'av or al ha'av shel ha'av ela al ben ha'ben shelo haya bahar Sinai. It's the einikel. If the einikel learns with a zaydi, then it's as if the einikel's mom is standing at Har Sinai, because there's this transference, there's this connection with an older person, not just with a parent, but with an older person. So there's this extra aura, there's this extra sense of significance and importance that the einikel considers it or experiences it, ki'ilu kibla mehar Sinai. But now let's get into the halachic issue. Is there a chiyuv of a grandfather to teach Torah to a grandson? Is this a chiyuv? Is there a mitzvah? Is there an obligation to do that? Is the mitzvah only v'shinantam levonecha, or is there also a mitzvah to teach the next generation? So it turns out it's a machlokes in the Gemara. Now let's go to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, back to Lamed Amud Aleph, ad heichon chayiv adam lelamed es bino Torah. Ad heichon chayiv adam lelamed es bino Torah. How far does a person have an obligation to teach Torah to his son? Amar Rabbi Yudah Mar Shmuel, Gagon Zvulam ben Dan. Zvulam ben Dan, Rashi tells us, was a Talmud Shehayah B'Yameihem, was some Amoraic young man who was walking around, who they knew. We're not talking about biblical Zvulun or biblical Dan. Zvulam ben Dan is complicated. We're talking about some fellow who they knew by the name of Zvulam ben Dan, Talmud Shehayah B'Yameihem. Shalimdo Avi, Aviv, his Zaydi, taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachas, V'Agados. So that's how much you have to teach a son. You learn from how the Zaydi towards Vulun Ben Dun, how much Ad Heichan the Gemara at this point means, how much do you have to teach? Well, I have to teach Mikra and Mishnah and Talmud and Halachos and Agolos. Mesvi asked the Gemara, no, you don't have to teach that much. Lamda Mikra ain Malamda Mishnah. Rama Rava Mikra Zu Torah. It's only Torah, it's not even a Vim and Ksuvim. So you don't have an obligation. The syllabus doesn't have to be such a robust syllabus. It's even less. You can be fulfill the mitzvah. And for the Gemara, Kizvulun ben Dan, velo Kizvulun ben Dan. Kizvulun ben Dan, Shalimdo Avi Aviv. Velo Kizvulun ben Dan, the Ilohasa Mikra Mishnah Tamar Alochas Vahagodos, the Ilohacha Mikra Levat. What's pshat when the Gemara says, Ad Heichan Chayav Adam Lalamid Esbeno? It doesn't mean what's the content, but it means how many generations. Ad Heichan, how far down the chain in your family are you obligated? And for the Gemara, third generation, that the Zaydi has an obligation because Vulun ben Dan Zaydi taught him. Is a raya that Zaydis have to teach grandsons. For the Gemara, Vavi Aviv Mi Mechayev, you tell me that a grandfather has a chiyuv to teach. That was the question. Ad heichan chayev adam lelamed es b'no Torah. You're trying to tell me it's chayev or atanyu lemadetem osam es b'neichem. Velo b'nei b'neichem. We darshan from the pasuk lemadetem osam es b'neichem that there's only an obligation to teach a son and not a grandson. Why, umani mekayim ve'odatem levanecha levnei vanecha. What about our pasuk? So the Gemara says, our pasuk doesn't mean that there's an obligation on the part of the grandfather to teach the grandson, but lomar lecha shekol hamalamed es bino Torah, male olav hakosov, ki'ilu limdo lo ule bino, ule ben bino atzov kol hadoros. That if you teach your son, then the train is leaving the station, and you do it right, you teach your son right, so you einwurzel in your son the importance to teach the next generation and then the next generation. So then it's as if atzov kol hadoros. So we see from here that the grandfather is not obligated to teach a grandson. And for the Gemara, who the amar ki aitana, the sanyo lemadetem osam es b'neichem. Ein li ela b'neichem b'nei b'neichem inayin. Tamad lomar v'otatem levonecha. We have an obligation to teach your grandson, not only b'neichem, but levonecha ulevnei vanecha. And that's not a haftacha, but that's actually a chiyuv. Imkei ma talmud lomar b'neichem, b'neichem v'lo b'nosechem. That there's an obligation to teach sons, no obligation to teach daughters. And in fact, b'yimei chazal in the Mishnah already, and quoted in the poskim, it's not an obligation on the part of a parent to teach Torah to a daughter. The Mishnah has a complex formulation about somebody who does that. At best, it means that they're not doing anything really significant, but we have to come back to this in a little while. So we emerge from the Gemara that there's a machlokes, two brises, whether there's a chiyuv on the part of a Zaydi to teach Torah to a grandson. Paskin to Rambam on page 4 in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, that a father is obligated to teach a son Torah, and Halacha Beis, Perek Risha Halacha Beis, Kishem Sha'odam Chayav Lelamed Es Beno, Kachu Chayav Lelamed Es Ben Beno, Shenema Vahodatim Levonecha Ulevnei Vonecha. So we see from here, the Rambam Paskins, that there is a Chiyuv, is an obligation, and notice the language, because we'll see in a moment a little variation. Kishem sha'adam chayiv lelamed es beno, kach hu chayiv lelamed es ben beno, and uses our pasuk, the pasuk that we're going to be in Mirtz Hashem celebrating on Tuesday, in reminding us of Matan Torah, v'odatim levanecha levnei vanecha. V'lo beno ben beno bilvad, elo mitzvah, Al kol chacham v'chacham Yisrael lelamed es kol ha-talmidim af opi she'enon banav. So you notice the lashon chiyuv in the Rambam. Chayev is your son and is a son and a grandson, but there's a mitzvah. He changes the language mitzvah to also teach other people's children. Shenema v'shinatem levanecha and banecha mi piashmua is also talmidecha. So the Kesef Mishnah and Agos Maimunios all figure out that this comes from our Gemara and that the Rambam is paskening like the Brisa that concludes that in fact we do have an obligation, a grandfather has an obligation to teach a grandson. Paskin to Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Melamdim, page 5. Hilchos Melamdim, page 5. Simen Reish Mem Hei, Se'if Aleph, Mitzvas Asei, Al Ho'ish, Lelamed Es Bino Torah. Vim Lo Limdo Aviv, Chayev Lelamed Liatzmo. Notice the language of the Shulchan Aruch is mitzvah, mitzvah. Look at Se'if Gimel, Geshem Shem Mitzvah, Lelamed beno, kach mitzvah, as opposed to what? What's the lashon of the Rambam? Chiyuv, kach mitzvah, k'shem shem mitzvah lelamed es beno, kach mitzvah lelamed es ben beno, shenema v'odatim levanecha levnei vanecha, v'lo leben beno bilvad, ela mitzvah al kol, chocham yisrael lelamed letalmidim, shegam heim nikra'im banim. So we have an obligation. There is an obligation on the part of the grandfather to teach the grandson, the ben shel haben. Machlekes in the Gemara, two brises. We paskin like the brisa that says, we paskin, the Rambam says chayev, the Shulchan Aruch says mitzvah. We paskin that there is such an obligation. Now, the nature of the relationship between grandfathers and grandsons is something that Rabbi Soloveitchik paid significant attention to. And on page 6, on the left-hand side, I bring you an essay that was published in this book. So I brought you the book, Man of Faith in the Modern World. It's the Rav didn't write this. This is not his words. It's a digest, a summary. It's a copy. Somebody was taking notes. So you can't be medayek in every single word. Rav didn't print this himself, but it's considered to be an authoritative representation of shiurim that the Rav gave. And he has in the first essay in this book, it's called The First Grandfather. The essay is called, the title of the essay is actually called The First Jewish Grandfather. Who is the first Jewish grandfather? So the Rav Pine is that the first Jewish grandfather was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the first Jewish grandfather. We have three patriarchs, left side of page 6, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. History, however, bestowed upon Yaakov the two milas that Yaakov has that Avraham and Yitzhak don't have. Number one, Yaakov and Yisrael became generic names for the entire people. Right? Yaakov is Yisrael, and we are known as B'nai Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael. So there's a special yichus that Yaakov has that Atzof Kol Adoros, all the entire people of Israel is referred to by his name. We're known as the people of Israel. We're not the people of Avraham or the people of Yitzhak. That's number one. And number two, next paragraph, a second distinction, is that Yaakov is frequently called Zakein in the Torah and the Medrash, despite the fact that both his father and grandfather lived longer than he did. So he's referred to as a Zakein. And the significance of Zakein can't be that he lived longer. It can't be in numbers of years. He never achieved their longevity. When Yaakov refused to let Binyamin come to Egypt, Yehuda said, and it's quoted in Rashi, Hamtinu lezakein achetich lepasmin abayis. That, and it's a little strange. The son says, wait for the Zakein. He didn't want them to go. But just wait, Hintinu lezakein, until we run out of food, and then he'll agree to be able to send us. Later on, the Beferish Pasuk, when Yosef asks about him, Hasholom avichem hazakein, asher amartem ha'odenu chai. The Rambam, when he paskins in Ilchas Kriyashma, the whole issue about Baruch Shem Kavod Machuso, it's based on a Gemara in Maseches Psachim, that when they were all around the bed, and they said Shema Yisrael, and Yaakov said Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, and then we have a problem. How can we say it? After all, it's not in the Torah. How can we not say it? After all, Yaakov did say it, so that's the compromise that we say it Belachash. So when the Rambam gives over, when the Rambam writes up this story in the Gemara, the Rambam uses a phrase that's not in the Gemara, and the Rambam says, Pasach ha-zokein ve-omar baruch shem kavod malchuso. So you have zokein as a phrase that's used for Yaakov Avinu regularly. Next paragraph, Yaakov is called Yisrael Sava. Saba, the older Yisrael. Why? Why is Yaakov called a Zakein? Why is Yaakov called Yisrael Saba? The answer is that Yaakov was the first patriarch to establish direct communication with his grandchildren. He's the first one. And he quotes the Pasuk, Ephraim Umnashe, Keruvain, Vishimon, Yehiuli. And when we give the bracha, Yisimcha Elokim, to children, we give the bracha, Yisimcha Elokim, Kefraim Vechimnashe, that was given by a Zaydi. So he's the first one, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, who established this direct connection between himself as a grandfather and the children of his son, his grandchildren, Ephraim Umenashe. I would add, and it's not in here, I would add the Rashi to the beginning of Vayechi, when the Torah tells us that Vayachar Dvar Ma'elev Vayomer LeYosef Hinei Avicha Choleh. So Rashi says, how did Yosef find out that Yaakov, his father, was sick? So the second shot in Rashi is the Yesh Omrim, that he found out from Ephraim, because Ephraim was always learning with Yaakov. So here you have a Beferish Rashi, it's a tradition that we have, that the Zaydi was learning with the grandson, Shephraim ha'yurugil lifnei Yaakov b'talmud. Parenthetically, a number of years ago, I saw something that struck me because I had always known about this essay of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and then I was learning through the Emes Liakov of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's on the top right-hand side of this page, says that, in fact, Avraham Avinu was the first Jewish grandfather, and that Avraham actually learned with Yaakov. So he makes a cheshbon that Yaakov was 15 years old when Avraham died, and until then there was this direct relationship. Even just look at the first three lines. Hu lamad Torah im Avraham zekeno ad gil chameshesrei. So this is in Parshas Vayetze, and then in Parsha he tushtels Parshas Toldos. I brought you Parshas Toldos. That according to him, Yaakov was not the first Jewish grandfather. According to him, in fact, Avraham. And it's interesting to make the cheshbon. Either way, whoever was the first, the relationship is clearly something that is extremely significant. I want to now move into a chakira, into a lamdash chakira, with a very significant and relevant nafkamina. Why is a grandfather mechuyev to teach Torah to the son of his son? Is it because he's mechuyev to teach his son, and the son of his son is an extension of his son? For like his mechuyev to teach his son, part of that is to continue that obligation. Or it's not a din in the son, but it's a din in the fact that he's a Zaydi, that a grandfather has an obligation to teach a grandchild. It's not that he's mechuyev to teach the son. Part of teaching the son, extending teaching the son, is also to teach the son of the son. L'may nafkamina. The nafkamina is the son of a daughter. Because technically speaking, there is no obligation to teach a daughter. So now, what about the son of the daughter? If it's a din in the child, so there is no such din. If it's a din in being, it's a din in Zaydihood, so that Yechben HaZaydi over there also. It's not just a din in a child of a child. So the Kesef Mishnah actually clears this suffix. If you go back and look at the top of page, in the middle of page, in the page 4, back to the Kesef Mishnah in the Rambam and Hilchos Talmud Torah. I'm sorry to bother you, but I copied it once and I wasn't going to copy it back. Nishkeferluch, bottom left in the Kesef Mishnah, Aval Homisafkali, the last two lines in the bottom left, the Kesef Mishnah is like mamish in the middle of the page on page 4, the last two, three lines in the Kesef Mishnah. So we know that we have an obligation to teach a son. There's an obligation to teach a son of a son. There's also a mitzvah to teach ben chavero. Well, where does a ben of a bas fit in? Is there a special inyan of teaching also a grandson from a daughter. The Efsher, clears the Kesef Mishnah. The Ein Kodem Leben Chaveru. Maybe there is no special yichus or obligation to teach a grandson, the son of a daughter. And I cut it off, but we'll see it in a moment in the Shacha, read it to you. When is there such an obligation? Elahecha dinizchayev ba'aviv. If you mechuyev to teach the aviv, then the next step is through the child, who's the father of the grandchild, then you have to go to the grandchild. Avol gabi bas, elekha lememri. Maybe there is no such an obligation. If you look now at the top of page 5, the Shach quotes this Kesef Mishnah, and he lays out the question. The Kesef Mishnah, the top line on page 5, the Shach and the Halacha that we just saw, the Kesef Mishnah, Reish Perek Aleph Melchus Talmud Torah, and he wonders, Aval ha misafkale, middle of the second line, I ben bito kodem leben chavero, the Efsher, the Ein Kodem lechavero, Elohecha denizchayev ba'aviv. So if I'm mechuyev to teach the father of the Einikol, then I'm mechuyev to teach the Einikol. Aval gabi bas, the lekel lememer hachilo, the Kesef Mishnah leaves it with a tzorachian, with a safek, v'li nira, the Shach says, the kodem leben chaver. For him, no question, that the son of a daughter gets priority over other people's children. But notice, it's an issue in priority. If you laid out the priorities, it would appear it's the son, then it's the son of the son, then it's the son of the daughter, and then it's the son of other people. The Be'er Heitev quotes the Shach, and now look at the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva on the bottom left of page 5. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Shach, Ayin Shach du adin ben bito. V'ayin b'tshuvas chacham tzvi, sof simen ayin, shekosav b'pshitus, de kol ha-korov, korov kodem, kamo she'omru b'inyin mamin, v'kal v'chomer hu. I gave you the chacham tzvi at the bottom right of page 6, where the chacham tzvi talks about the power of a relative, that somebody's relative takes precedence over somebody who's not a relative. And he talks that about in the context of monetary obligations. It's a long tshuva. This is the end of the tshuva. And he says, if that is when it comes to money that a karov takes precedent, then kal v'chaymer, when it's not just chaye shah, but it's also chaye olam, he should take priority. V'roa ani hadvarim, I'm in the chacham tzvi on the bottom right of page 6, 5 lines from the bottom. V'roa ani hadvarim kal v'chaymer, mayim l'chaye shah, karov kodem, the chaye olam lo kolshkein. And so their korov is significant. So it would appear from the chacham tzvi that maybe would appear that it's not just the din in priority, but there might be an equality between ben and ben bas, because it's a din in being a korov. It's a din in being a zaydi. It's not a din in being obligated to teach the child, the memela to teach the child's child, but has nothing to do with the child. It has to do with the direct relationship between the grandparent and the grandchild, and circumvents the child. It's not a din in the child at all. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan on the top left of page 7, he says so explicitly. Top left, page 7, Ukeshem shemitzvah lelamed es beno, kach mitzvah lelamed es ben beno. This is line number 5. In the Aruch HaShulchan, just like you have to teach your son, you have to teach your grandson. Kedachsev quotes the pasuk that we begin with, V'odatma l'vanecha l'vnei v'necha, V'hu hadin leben bito, the Mishna. I mean, for him it's pashtus. It's not a din in priority, it's not a question. Why should it be different? He can't even be masig that there should be a difference between the son of a son and the son of a daughter. This is just a curiosity, this next source. A number of years ago, I came across, I subscribed to many different journals. And among them, I subscribed to Hamor. Hamor is a very interesting Torah journal. Comes out pretty much every month, sometimes every other month. And it's sort of starke Torah, interesting tidbits that are going on in the Haredi community, the Rebbesha community, the Litvisha community, and there are a lot of very interesting Shtiklach Torah in this journal. And this is from 2005. So I came across an essay of Kamadoros Nimshach Hazchus Shel Neched. So apparently the story here is, and I'll summarize it for you, story is that there was a very wealthy fellow lived in Europe 100 years ago, very, very wealthy, and he left in his tzava that he wants to be mefarnes his eniklach. He wants to be able to support them. And he wants to be able to support them because a lot of them were admirim, achsidish rebbes, and they didn't make a parnasa. And so they were lived da'aniyas ubedachkis, they lived poorly. So he wanted to ensure that they would have a parnasa. Regretfully, he says, many of them were killed during the Shoah, but there are still a number of them who have remained. And the question is manyfold. Second paragraph, Va'ata heim shoalim, miza koim lehonos mehayarusha. Who is still eligible? Imrak admoirim v'rabbonim v'yoshvei ohel, only those who are sitting and learning al pitaras hakodesh, the rabbonim and the admoirim, the rebbes. Oy kol nechadav, nechdav, all eniklach, afilu socharim u'balei melochos. Even those who went out to work, they also want to have a cut, piece of the action. Delta Zayda left money, why should they not be able to benefit? And then there's a psashtika l'shtach here, that these socharim and balei melochos shenhigu ba'achrono lechanos atzmam b'shem admorim v'rabbanim. Chbenoichet gevoren ashtika l'rebbe. You're like, I'm also in on this. Ich bin gevoren, you know, I could be a socher all week, but on Shabbos, ich bin gevoren an admor and a rebbe, so I should also, v'gam l'kabel mataros b'm, I should also be worthy. Second, keno medes hashela, and this is the one that's relevant to us. Im kavanoso rakal hanachodim shehein ben achar ben min atzadik rosh hamishpacho lo mehabonos, or also from the bonos. Not everybody. It's not always ben achar ben. You can have a daughter, and the daughter can have a son, and that he can become the rebbe. So is he eligible, or is it broken? Is it only ben achar ben? And he wants to know which country. Is it only, has to be only in one country? Maybe it's in other countries. And then the last question, he says, the most important question is, how long does this last? Four generations, five generations, six generations, which point, you know, is the enikel, the Rebbe'sha enikel end? So we have a tendency to oistishbreiten the Rebbe'sha enikelhood as long as we can, and I appreciate that. But is there a halachic obligation for this Yerusha to go, how many generations, is this endless, or at some point it's going to have to stop? With regard to our issue, he quotes a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, and I'm just going to read it to you, and it doesn't really make any sense because it's too long to work through this whole sugi at the beginning of Sanhedrin. He quotes a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, I underlined it for you at the bottom, that says that the Roshe Gola came from Zacharim, and the Siye Eretz Yisrael came from Nekevos. So there were daughters in the middle of the Nas Shalsheles. In the Reish Galusa, Shalshelas, they were sons. So if from the Nasi, Sheb Eretz Yisrael, came from Nekevos, if you look back four or five lines from the end of the second paragraph on the left-hand side, Akapola Mizeon Uroim, Shenesiye Eretz Yisrael, Hema Mibinos, Shel David HaMelech, Vehem Chashuvim, Kamo Roshei Goliyoshe Bebovel, Sheheme Azchar. So there seems to be a consensus that the Ben Habas is a similar obligation on the part of the grandfather to Ben Haben. So we've now expanded it from the son of the son to also the son of the daughter. Now it also goes backwards, because on page 8, some Achleikis, the Ramon, the Maharik, well, what are the obligations of an Enikel to a grandparent? Does an Enikel have an obligation to be Mechabed a grandparent? We know, Kabed es Avicha v'esimecha, but does it also go back one generation? Is there an obligation? Is there a chiyuv on grandchildren to be mechabed grandparents? So the mechaber at the top half of page 8, chayav adam in simen hilchos kibud avim simen reish mem seif chav dalid, talks about in-laws. Actually, talks about a father-in-law. A lot of discussion about mothers-in-law. The language happens to be Chamav. And then the Rama says, Yesh Omrim, in the small letters, the Ein Adam Chayev Bechvod Avi Aviv, and he quotes a Maharik. It's a very Durcha Arbita Maharik. If we had time, we should work through the Maharik. The Maharik says there is no obligation on the part of a grandson to be Muhammad a grandfather, but Ve'eno Nira Li, Ela Dechayev Bechvod Aviv, Yoser Mikvod Avi Aviv. That a child, a grandchild, does have an obligation to be Muhammad a grandfather, but more the father. The father first, and then he brings the famous Rashi, when Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Yisrael v'chol asher lo, v'yizbach zvachim l'lokei aviv Yitzchak, and Rashi says, Chayev adam b'chvod aviv, yoser m'chvod zekeinu, he quotes the Medrash in Bereshis Rabbah. On page 9, it's quite clear that many of the Mefarshim say that of course a grandson has an obligation to be mechabed a grandfather. Because if a grandfather has an obligation like a father to teach a grandson, so then the grandson has an obligation to be mechabed a grandfather. It's not a one-way street. If you look at the Beis Yosef, like two-thirds of the way down, kiven de zekeno chayev lelamdo Torah, kidi perakama de kedushin, Heich salka adaite dehu nechshav lo leben lelamdo Torah. The grandson is considered like a son that the grandfather has an obligation to teach him Torah. But vahu, but the grandfather ain't no nechshav lo lav leinyan kavod. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it that the grandfather's mechiv to teach the grandchild, but the grandchild has no obligation back to the grandfather. Rebbe Eliezer Fleckelis, at the bottom of page 9, it was a Talmud of the Noida B'Yehuda, V'hadas machras, she'odam mechuyev, b'chvod zikeno midekaimelon, de'iyu mechuyev l'lamdo Torah. Lama lo yehe'iyev mechuyev b'chvodo. Obviously, he has such an obligation. So there is halachically a very important connection between a grandfather and a grandson, and also a grandson from a daughter. This is the consensus of the sources that we have. And now I want to move into daughters and granddaughters. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with daughters. Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with granddaughters. But this is not part of the discussion until pretty much into the very end of the 19th and beginning of the 20th century. To make a very long story very, very short, the first one who established the obligation of teaching Torah to girls or to daughters or to women was the Chafetz Chaim, and then of course the whole Beis Yaakov movement began to develop in the first, second decade of the 20th century. Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Likutei Halachos, which is a sefer on it's sort of a halachic sefer on various mesechtas and shas. And in the Masechta of Sota, where the Mishnah says that Kolam Alamed Es Bito Torah Ki'ilu Limda Tiflus, which at best means Narishkeit, he takes issue with this in terms of what is relevant to his day. And it's a very bold, striking Chafetz Chaim. V'nira de Kol Zeh Dafka Bizmanim Shelefoneinu, that there was no obligation to teach Torah to a daughter, and not just no obligation, but it was sort of looked down upon. That only applied in those generations. Shekol echad haya dor b'makom avosav. They live with their parents. I'm interpreting avosav not as fathers, but as parents. We're talking about girls growing up in a traditional home, in a parental home. V'kabolas ha'avos haya chazak ma'od etzol kol echad ve'echad. And therefore, then it was possible lehisnaig bederech shadorchu avosav ubamamar akasav shalavicha v'yageitcha. Bazeh hayinu yecholim lo shalot tilmo Torah. Where a girl is growing up in a traditional society and sees the whole world around her in a traditional way and is in the presence of her parents and sees how they comport themselves, sees how her father comports himself, and maybe even more directly important for her is how her mother comports herself, then you don't have to go out of your way and have a syllabus and figure out you have to teach her this and this and this. She breathes it. She sees it. She imbibes it. It's part of her culture. It's a given. It's push it that she's going to be able to do this. Aval ba'avonosenu harabim shekabolas ha'avos nisrofef ma'od ma'od. The Kabbalah of her parents is now double ma'od, 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 weak, and it's become dissipated. The gam matzu she'eno darbi mekom avosav, and she moved out, and she moved to the big city, and she's now in Paris and in Warsaw, and she's now acculturated in the whole big world all around her. Ubefrat osan she'margila natzman lilmo k'savu l'shon ha'amim, and now she's studying French, and she's studying German, and she's becoming very much involved in the culture, and she's not living at home, and she doesn't imbibe the values just sort of willy-nilly part of her regular ongoing life's experience. Here, then, mitzvah rabbah follows needs careful diuk, but not for now. What does the Chafetz Chaim then say is part of the syllabus that we should teach daughters? But he opened up this as a possibility now that what the Gemara says was relevant then, but now we're living in an entirely different set of circumstances, and therefore now it's important to teach daughters. Now, once it's important to teach daughters, then it's important for mothers to teach daughters. It's important for grandmothers to teach daughters to teach granddaughters. It's important for grandfathers to teach sons to teach daughters. It's important for grandmothers to teach sons to teach daughters. So it's at this point it becomes manifestly obvious that the role of the girls is really super central, and we can't depend on somebody else to do the job for us, but it's something that we need to do essentially ourselves. So even though the halachic literature until the 20th century is pretty male focused, but I think we would have a consensus that already for over 100 years it's very important to pay specific, careful attention to the Torah teaching for daughters, and therefore now we open up the entire discussion to relate to daughters, to granddaughters, and also to grandmothers, who play a very central role in the transmission. V'odatam levanecha levnei vanecha yom asher amadata b'har b'chorev. The relationship between all the Bubbies and the Zaydis and the Einikloch, whether it's a boy Einikol or a girl Einikol, it's clear that all of that becomes extremely centrally important. I think I'm just going to conclude now with the last source. If we go to the last source on page 12. This issue, the more I looked into it, the larger the issue became. I could tell you a number of Rashi Prakim. So, for example, there is a rabbinic b'nei banim, harei heim kibanim. Well, what does that mean, b'nei banim, harei heim kibanim? It's a long, misubach, complicated discussion among the Rishonim. There's a tshuva, the Ritva, that maybe it only applies under certain circumstances. It's not this sort of blanket statement. If you say b'nei banim, harei heim kibanim, so there's nothing really more to talk about. Pasuk says in Mishlei, famous Pasuk, that many children or Einiklach give their parents or grandparents like a paper cut or some kind of a knitted something. Ateres zekeinim b'nei banim, utuferes banim avosam. Ateres zekeinim b'nei banim. So clearly there's something extremely special. Urevanim livanecha, shalom al Yisrael. If you were evanim livanecha, then you're good to go. Then shalom, shalom al Yisrael. What do we say at the end when we make a siyum? Shel yiratzin shel yomush haTorah mipi, mipi zari, mipi zera zari. What do we say? It's a bach at the top of page 12, the nusach of the bracha in Vaharev No Hashem Elokeinu. So the bach at the top of page 12, we should say the nusach should be lo yomush haTorah mipi umizari, and we should therefore say. We should say for a v'tzeh tzoeinu, v'tzeh tzoei, tzeh tzoeinu, v'tzeh tzoei amcha beis Yisrael. Famous pasuk, chut ha-meshulash, lo b'mehera yinotek. If it's a chut ha-meshulash, if it's threefold. L'man tesaper ba'ozne bincha u ben mincha. There's an enormous amount. But I want to conclude with one thought that I thought of a number of years ago from a Tosefta in Brachas. This is a final source, last source on page 12. So there's a fascinating, there's an unusual place to go for this kind of a that I want to make, but here it is. Maisa ba'bar zakenim, it's underlined. The Tosefta in Brachas says the following. There was a story about four zakenim, Shehayu Yoshvin b'beishar shel Rabbi Yoshua. Four great rabbis, notice the phrase again, zakenim, who were sitting at the gatehouse of Rabbi Yoshua, fifth rabbi. And now they tell us who they were. Elazar ben Masya, Chanina ben Chachinoi, Shimon ben Azai, v'Shimon Atimai. Amalen Rabbi Akiva, so what do five rabbis do when they're sitting at a gatehouse? So there's the sixth rabbi. So the sixth rabbi is Rabbi Akiva. Amalem Rabbi Akiva, Kindalach, I have a question. Mipnei ma zocha Yehuda l'malchus. Why was Yehuda zocha for malchus? V'yaser shevet mi Yehuda. So obviously, those of you who are the fourth child in your family will know exactly why Yehuda was zocha l'malchus. But if you're not the fourth child, then you're going to wonder, was that b'zayin gemishn mitten derinnen, the fourth, the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, what did Yehuda do? So it's not Yosef, and it's not Reuven, it's not the Bechor. Ein gefallen Yehuda mipnei mazoch Yehuda l'malchus. So one of them says, mimnei shahoda b'tamar. You know why? Because he fessed up. What did he say? Tzadka mimeni, in yen a complicated story. He admitted that he made a mistake. You want to be zeicha l'malchus? You have to be able to say, I made a mistake. Rabbi Akiva didn't like that, rejects it. Second answer. Mipnei ma zocha Yehuda l'malchus, mipnei shehitzil es achiv min hamisa. Because they were going to kill Yosef, they threw him in a pit when he goes to look after them. And Yehuda says, no, it's not going to happen, it can't be, we're not going to let this happen. And so, he's zocha l'malchus. So what does that mean? It means that he stood up against the consensus. Everybody else, kulam haydu v'nlichu v'amru, all of his brothers said, let's kill him. And Yehuda said, no, he stood up for what was right. You want to be a leader, you have to be able to assert your justice in the face of, no matter what, how many people disagree with you. Now I want to come to the last one. And I want to leave you a thought about Zaydis and Bubbies and maybe even Elter Zaydis and Elter Bubbies. Elamit ne'mazach Yehuda l'machas. He rejects it. Rabbi Kiva's, anything they put out, he rejects. Amru lohem yilamdeinu rabbeinu. We give up. We give up. We 0-3, all kinds of explanations. You didn't like it. We give up. You tell them. Amar lohem, mipnei shekidei shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Yehuda was mekadesh shem shamay. Shekisha'olu shvatim va'amdu al hayam. Ze omer ani yored, v'ze omer ani yored. So what happened, right, this is like, you know, almost pre-K, what happened there by the Yam, and it's actually machlokes the Gemara in Masechet Sota, and I think the other version is a more realistic version. The other version in the Gemara is, ze omer Einani yored. Vosep is vos beniach. I should be zoich. I should. Yanana. Vakasha, you go. You should go. I am not worthy. I can't go. You go. And vizei omer einani yored. Nobody wanted to go. What happened? Kofatz shifto shel Yehuda v'yorad betchila v'kidesh shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch. So here's my question. Who was Mekadesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Wasn't Yehuda. Who was it? Nachshon Ben Aminadav, a couple of generations later. Why is Yehuda Zeichel Malchus? So I think about this a lot, and I think the reason Yehuda was Zeichel Malchus is because the Elter Zaydi Yehuda, this is Shevet Yehuda, lived a life that was so meaningful and so profound and so special and so precious and so moral and so decent that he raised the child with those values and was able to inculcate those values into the life of that child, and that child raised that child, the next child, and that child raised the next child, so that when the time came when Klal Yisrael needed somebody to make a move and to jump in, because nobody wanted to jump in, that's the person who was going to jump in. The Einikel of the Einikel jumped in. Why did he jump in? Because Nachshon learned it from Aminadav, and Aminadav learned it from his father. Because it started, Shevet Yehuda started with Yehuda. That the elder Zaidi was able to live such an important, meaningful life, and was so successful, and being so honest and so sincere, and not being a phony, and having his child see what he lived and what was important to him, and incorporated that and taught it to his child, and his child to his child, that the elder Zaidi gets the credit. And that's why Yehuda is Zaycha Lamalchus. Yehuda didn't jump in, but Yehuda created the Hechatimtza in a Shevet, that somewhere down the road, when the Jews needed a hero, it was going to be his Einikel who was going to jump in. The powerful role, L'doyre doyres, the powerful role of grandparents, Baruch Hashem, great grandparents. I think we have an important role to play, whether technically speaking there's an obligation to teach Torah. We have an obligation, Vaidatam Levanecha Levnei Vanecha Yom Asher Amadata Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev. We are the links in the chain. If you were to ask me, what's my role in this world? My answer is very simple. It's actually stunningly simple. Chayvasi ba'olami, I mamish believe it, is to be a link in the chain of the Mesorah. That I got from my Zaydis and Bubis and from my parents, and I want to make sure that my children and grandchildren, Atzayf Galad, Kol Hadaris, to the extent to which I can, follow in that Mesorah. It changes. There are differences. It's a different world. And I don't want to mess it up. I want to be able to be authentic as possible to be able to transmit it. The role of Vahidatam Levanecha Levnei Vanecha is central. Bubbies and Zaydis, all kinds of Kinderlach, all kinds of Einikach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the ability to have them, the opportunity to have Kinderlach and Einikach, and then to recognize the precious role that the Bubbies and the Zaydis have in the Mesira of the Mesorah, to look for us, to reinforce what our children are teaching their children, and to try to ensure that Lo Yamish HaTorah Mipi, Mipi Zari, Mipi Zera Zari Ad Olam, that we should be Zocha for the continuity of the Jewish people and for all generations to be able to be Mesameach Simchas Torah in memory of that event that happened so many years ago with the giving of the Torah. Wish you all a Freilich and Yom Tov. Welcome.
But I have a question. If you live far, 3,000 miles away,
no. Do the best you can. You come visit.
Well, I do, but
Skype.
The question is...
You'll figure it out.
No. If you pay for education of the grandchildren...
That's a big deal.
That counts, right?
Yes, 100%. Somebody said to me, just don't say that grandparents have to pay the tuition of their grandchildren.
Well, you don't have to, but if you can't teach them, at least participate in that.
Mazel tov.
God, dear.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, thank you.